Right. Good morning, church. Welcome to Go Christian Church. Welcome to our Sunday morning celebration. I'm really, really excited that we're able to come again this morning in the presence of the Lord. Before we get started, I want us just to pray and commit this time in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you today, that you would come and speak to us and reveal to us what is on the heart of the Father. We thank you for what you have in store for us today. Even as we enter in a time of worship this morning, we pray that you help us to worship the Father in the right way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What I want us to do this morning, we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to just have one song of worship. You know, when people come together, we worship, we magnify the Lord. And I'm really excited, and I want to invite you to join in. It's one of the popular worship songs in South Africa. And people love this song, and it's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's "You Are the Alpha and the Omega." He is the beginning and the ending in our lives. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, I want you to know if God says it's not yet done, it's not yet done. So today I want us to worship together. I want us to magnify the King of Glory. So if you want to stand up in your house, or you want to bow down and worship God in the comfort of your house, why don't you go ahead? You are before your God, you're before the King of Glory, and let's give him all the worship that is due to him. Great, let's worship the Lord together this morning.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Sing it again.
We give you all. We give you glory today, Jehovah. You alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, because you are dependable, Lord. We can count on you, and even this morning, we declare that every knee shall bow down, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Father, this morning we declare that you are the beginning and the ending, O God. Father, we thank you that there is nothing that you stop, that you do not finish, O God. Lord, the dreams and aspirations you have planted in our hearts, Lord, we thank you that they will come to see the day, the light of day. Father, we worship you this morning. Lord, even in this season, we declare, Father, it is not over until you say it is over. Lord, we just declared over the nation of South Africa that this nation will rise up, this nation will see the goodness of God, this nation will magnify the glorious King, the world will see the glory of the Lord rising upon our nation, upon your people. Thank you, King of Glory, because you do not change. We love you, Daddy. We worship you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, be exalted, O God.
Oh, wow, that was a wonderful time of worship in the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. I want you to just keep with that spirit as we go through this time of the Word this morning, because God is the Alpha and the Omega. Whatever you are facing in your life, this is a song to sing over your situations. And now I want us to get ready. I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to get your notebook out. We're going to go straight into the Word after such a powerful time of worship in the presence of the Lord. Today, I would like to continue on the matter of good health for you. Good health for your body. Good health for your body. Because I believe it's something that is so key in this season that we're in, just because of what's happening in our nation. But maybe not just because of what is happening in our nation, but from time to time, sickness can come into our bodies. And how do we deal with that? That is why the Lord has led me to just teach on this. Good health for your body. Good health for your body. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we get going this morning. Now, in this regard, allow me to pose to you a number of reflective questions. A number of reflective questions. These questions are very, very important because the way you answer them, it will reflect where you're at and will affect the way you behave. And therefore, do not just rush through these questions. What is the first reflective question that I want to deal with this morning? I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Let's just think about that. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Don't be quick to say, yeah, Pastor, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Because I've got the next question. The next question is, do you believe all that God says in His Word? It's one thing to say, I believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. It is the infallible Word of God. But the next question is, do you believe all that God says in His Word? Because if your first question was yes, you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the next question should be, do you believe all that God says in the Bible? Do you believe everything that His Word professes? Very, very important. Let's look at the third question. Are there promises that you are uncomfortable, that make you uncomfortable to take them literally? Are there promises that make you uncomfortable to take them literally? This is the question. I want you to think about certain things in the Bible. For instance, the Bible says, these works that I do, this was Jesus talking, these works that I do, if you believe in me, greater works than these will you do. I don't know. Do you really believe that? Or you become a little bit uncomfortable? The fourth question, how often is the Word your reference point for situations you face daily? How often is the Word your reference point for situations you face daily? Very, very important. How often do you refer to the Word of God for every circumstance and every situation that you face? Now, again, do not rush through this, because I will ask you yesterday what happened in your bedroom. How was that a reflection of what the Word says concerning your life, concerning your marriage? Maybe it was in your marriage situation. Now, with that in the back of your mind, let me remind you of what we covered last week. Last week, we looked at two important points, and we said, your physical body matters to the kingdom agenda. Your physical body matters to the kingdom agenda. Very, very important. And the second point was, healing is a basic need for a believer. Now, when you look at these two points, they are really, really right at the top on influencing the way you view healing in your life. Because if you believe that physical healing is a basic need, a basic necessity for a believer, it then changes your expectations when you come before God asking for healing, doesn't it? I'm sure it does. Now, this morning, I want to take you a little bit deeper around the whole issue of healing, the whole issue of good health for your body. Now, this morning, I want to say to you, Jesus wants to heal you. I wish I was in church. I would say, can I hear an amen from somebody this morning? But I want you to know that Jesus wants to heal you. I find that very interesting because When a child has doubts about the willingness of her parent or his parent with regards to him giving her a request that she has made, you find that two things will happen. One, the child will become uncomfortable to ask the father of that issue, because this child is not very sure whether my father is willing to give me this. Whether my father or my mom is willing to provide this request. So what that does to the child, it makes the child uncomfortable to make that request. Secondly, if the child gathers enough guts to make the request, that child is not very much convinced that the father will do it. It now affects the expectations of this child. Now, my children know how I have responded concerning certain requests, and they will know what my response is. Now, I want you to realize that your expectations is determined by what you have experienced around you. Now, our problem when it comes to the issues of healing, our problem is that we have used other people's experiences to determine what we should expect from God. That is one of the big problems that you find in Christendom, whereby we read God, we define God based on other people's experiences. That is why when people come to church, they experience a disappointing issue with the pastor, they then say God is a bad God. They are now reading God through their experience, forgetting that the pastor is not God. You see, if somebody has betrayed you before, can I remind you that person is not Jesus? If a church somewhere has disappointed you, can I remind you that church there is not Jesus? Now, I have this thing in my life. When I face situations that other people have faced and they had negative outcomes, I normally don't want to go with their experiences, because I'm an individual. I'm on a journey with God. I believe God is doing something in my life, and therefore, I'm not going to allow other people's experiences to define the level of my faith in God. Amen. Very, very important. We had an experience in our house with my wife where we ordered something through on the internet. We bought something online, and my wife had had somebody telling them that for that product, it took them 3 weeks to get delivery. And I say to her, you know what? We're not going to go with their experiences. We're going to go ahead and we're going to trust the Lord that this delivery will happen on time. And guess what? 3 days, we got delivery of our product. Can you imagine if we had gone with other people's experiences, we would have missed out on this product. What am I saying this morning? Very key. When it comes to healing, use the evidence in the Bible to shape your expectations. When it comes to your healing experiences, you've got to use the evidence that is found in the Word of God to determine what is going to happen to you. Now, it is very important for us to have the evidence. What is the evidence in the Word concerning the willingness of Jesus to heal your body? There has to be evidence in the Bible. Otherwise, it's just a pie in the air. Otherwise, other people's experiences are actually true because, well, we don't have evidence. Now, it is important for you to build your faith around the evidence that you find in the Word of God. You've got to base your faith on the evidence in the Bible. Now, in that regard, I want to take you through a journey this morning. And this journey, I'm hoping that it would stir up another dimension of faith in your life. We're going to visit the scriptures that we read in Luke chapter 8. Let's go together to Luke chapter 8 from verse 43. The Bible says, "And a woman who had a flow of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians, and could not be healed by any, came behind him," that is Jesus, "came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And instantly her flow of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' And all having denied, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the crowd presses and jostles you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" It's as if Peter is saying to the master, to Jesus, "Is everything okay upstairs? Surely you can see there's a crowd around you, but you can say, 'Who touched me?'" It is because Jesus had been touched in a different way, in such a way that there was a distinction between that touch and any other touch that Jesus had experienced. Verse 46, "And Jesus said, 'Someone has touched me.'" He was insistent. "Someone has touched me, for I know that power has gone out of me." Power has gone out of me. "And seeing that she was not hidden, the woman came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him before all the people why she had touched him, and how she was instantly healed. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be comforted. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Daughter, be comforted. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That is so, so profound. Now, whilst Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, you recall from last week that we spoke about this man who called on Jesus to come and heal his daughter who was on the verge of dying. So Jesus was on his way to the house of Jairus, and something happened in the process. You see, though Jesus was focused at going to meet this little girl who was sick, in the process, something happened. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. The Bible says for 12 years, this woman had spent so much money. She had spent everything that she had on physicians. And this is the story of a lot of people, whereby when we are stricken by ailment, we will do whatever it takes to find health. I remember there is a song that was sang by Oliver Mtukudzi back in the days. And in our vernacular language, this is the translation in English, you'd say, "Who is the wealthy one? The one who has money or the one who has good health?" I think that was a profound question. Who is the wealthy one? The one who has charity, the one who has money, or the one who has good health? And here we can see that this woman went out of her way to get health. But the Bible says she spent everything and there was no healing coming her way. And this is the story of many people. And this morning, I want you to know there is a place where you can find healing. There is a place where there is deliverance. That is why the Bible says, "Come unto me, all you that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." Glory be to God. Now, when Jesus experienced this encounter with this woman, when you look at this scripture, it appeared as if Jesus was so much concerned. He was not prepared just to experience something in his body and to let it go. He was insistent. He was saying, no. Somebody has touched me. Somebody has touched me. Calling out this woman, was it to embarrass her? Was it to put the tension on her? No, I really believe there's something profound here. Something important had happened in the life of this woman, and it was worth celebrating. It was worth paying attention. And Jesus was saying, "Somebody has touched me." Why? Power has come out of me. It tells me something here, that Jesus is so willing to part with his power so that you can experience healing. So when power came out of Jesus, it was not a small matter. You see, Jesus has put in place a mechanism that anybody who touches him in the same way that this woman touched him, you will experience a drawing, a withdrawal from Jesus. Glory be to God. It's not as if there is a limitation of how much drawing we can do from Jesus. You know, when you go to the bank or you go to the internet bank and they'll tell you, you have reached your withdrawal limit. I want you to know that Jesus is more than willing to bring healing in your life to such an extent that there is no limit to how much withdrawals we can make from his power. But when withdrawals happen, it doesn't happen as if and Jesus is oblivious to it. Whenever we touch Jesus for healing, he pays attention. That is why Jesus could not hold back. Jesus said, "I need to find out who this woman is who was able to make a withdrawal." Glory be to God. Yeah. I want to challenge you this morning. You've got to make a withdrawal. By faith, you've got to touch Jesus in a unique way. You see, when we come to church, it's not as if all of us are able to draw the same attention from Jesus. There are some who come to church because they have bought a new set of clothes or new stilettos and they want to showcase their new watch or whatever it is. And I want you to know, when you go to church with ulterior motives, you will not be able to touch Jesus to the extent that you will be able to draw his attention. Amen. A crowd was around Jesus. But this woman touched Jesus to an extent that she was able to withdraw from Jesus. I want you to realize that healing does not just happen. When you are healed, power comes out of Jesus. Amen. Power comes out of Jesus. That is why we declare and we sing songs like, "There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Chains are broken when I call upon the name of Jesus." Because the power in Jesus is the power that we need to break the chains of sickness in our body. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. That should tell you something. Jesus is more than willing to bring healing in your life. Now, if you do a study of the healings of Jesus, you'd realize that Jesus was more than willing. And I want to take you through just a rendition of the moments where Jesus brought healing to people's lives. I won't be able to cover everything, but I want to just share with you a snippet of the willingness of Jesus. And my prayer today is that faith would rise up in your heart. If you had a doubt that Jesus is willing to bring healing in your life, may this word change your perspective. May this word do something in your spirit, man, that you say, with no doubt, the Master is willing to bring healing in my life. You know, there is more than 27 healing scenarios where Jesus healed, people. More than 27. I like what John says in John 21, verse 25. He actually says here, there are many more things that Jesus did. If all of them were written down, well, I suppose that not even the world itself would have space for the books that would be written. Man, it's not just the 27. There is so much that Jesus did whilst he was on earth. And John is telling us there wouldn't be enough books. And I want you to know, Jesus was at work. He was doing his Father's business. Amen. Now, this morning, I want you to know that Jesus is willing and there is no sickness that is out of his reach. Jesus is willing and there is no sickness that is out of his reach. No sickness is out of his reach. I want to take you to Matthew 8, verse 1. And I want you to think of what you're going through, your pain, your sickness, the doubt you've heard. Maybe you're thinking, my sickness, because you're owning it. You're saying, my sickness, and I want to encourage you to change your lingo. It's not yours. But whatever term you call that thing, I want you to know that there is none of that stuff that is out of the reach of Jesus Christ. Matthew 8, verse 1, the Bible says, I don't have that scripture on the overheads, but in Matthew 8, verse 1, the Bible says, when he had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This is such a powerful, powerful story. I want you to realize that there's no sickness out of his reach. And when Jesus was coming down from the mountain, he met this man with leprosy. And you would need to have an understanding of what leprosy represented. In the eyes of people, leprosy was almost an indication of somebody having been cursed by God. And because of that, they were dirty, they were castigated, they were thrown out of the city, they were all occupying very derogatory positions in society. But when Jesus came down, this leper said, Master, if you are willing, Master, if you are willing, as if in his mind he was doubting whether Jesus is willing to bring healing upon his body. And many saints are like that. They are not confident enough that Jesus is willing to bring healing in their body. So the leper was not sure. And he said, Master, if you are willing. I don't know, is that how you are praying right now? We are saying, Lord, if you are willing, may you please bring healing on me. But this morning, I want you to develop a new level of confidence. Why? Do not allow your lack of understanding of the willingness of Jesus to stop you from accessing the power that is in him. Amen. Do not allow your lack of understanding of the willingness of Jesus to stop you from accessing the power in him. This is very, very important. You might not understand his willingness, but I want you to come to that place of saying, you know what? There is power in Jesus to bring healing, and therefore stretch out your faith unto Jesus and he'll bring healing in your body. Glory be to God. So when this man said, Master, if you are willing, Jesus did not hesitate to stretch out his hand. The Bible says, immediately Jesus put out his hand and touched him. You know, I find this very profound. That though leprosy was stigmatized in that society, when this man reached out to Jesus, Jesus did not hesitate to think, if I touch you, I might contract leprosy. Man, I want you to know that there is no sickness, there is no disease in your body that Jesus would look at and say, I cannot deal with that. Amen. You see, leprosy was highly stigmatized. But when this man cried out to Jesus, Jesus was more than willing to bring total healing in the life of this man. I don't know what is your situation right now. Maybe your sickness has been called terminal. Maybe your sickness has been called chronic. Maybe they call it's hereditary. It runs in the blood, it runs in the blood. But when you come to Jesus, there is no sickness that is out of bounds. I remember, you know, when people would talk about people who are HIV positive, there was a time where it was highly stigmatized, that condition, even today. But it doesn't matter. When you come to Jesus, he will not stigmatize your condition. He will bring healing in your body. I want to look at the second point, that Jesus is willing to heal, but he will heal you in the way he wants. Amen. Very, very key. Jesus is willing, but he's not going to come and use the same methodology and using the same technique. Why? Because he's Jesus. He will do what he wants. I want you to look with me in John 4, verse 46. This is another story. The Bible says, then Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, well, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go. Go, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went away. I find this very interesting, that this nobleman had, he had already a preconceived idea of how Jesus should bring healing to his son. Because he was insisting that, Jesus, I need you to come down to Galilee because my son is sick. And this morning, I want you to know that Jesus, when he comes into your life, he will heal you in the way that he wants. You see, this man had already a method in his mind. I don't know, maybe you carry a method already of how Jesus should heal you. And maybe he hasn't come in the exactly same way that you wanted him to bring healing upon you. This nobleman had it in his mind that the only way for his son to be healed is for Jesus to be in the house. The only way, that is what was in his mind. Because when Jesus was saying to them, you guys, you not believe unless you see a miracle. He did not listen to that. He kept on saying, I need you to come to my house. I need you to come to my house. On the contrary, Jesus did not go down to Galilee. He said, go, your son will be healed. Glory be to God. Go, your son will be healed. So this morning, I want you to know, if God healed you in a certain way last year, I want you to have your heart that is open to say, as long as I stretch my faith, he will heal me whichever way. Amen. Maybe the Lord wants to use science, medicines. You go to the hospital, you go by faith. Why? Because all of these scientific solutions, it's because God gave the people wisdom. Now, you might have said, you know, I'm praying for this headache to go, but it hasn't gone. I'm not going to do anything. Well, you can go down to the pharmaceutical and get some medication and still believe that God will use the medication. Glory be to God. Very, very important. There are many people that if God healed them using oil yesterday, they then use that as the point. Say, you need some oil for you to be healed. You need some oil for you to be healed. That is where we lose it sometimes. Because when God used one way to heal you yesterday, you then mistake that point of contact as the solution. It's just a point of contact. Many people wear bracelets. They say, when I wear this bracelet, God will heal me. When I drink this water from this prophet, God will heal me. When I take that handkerchief from that man of God, God will heal me. Is that what God wants you to do right now? The problem with using all of those kind of things like water, like handkerchiefs, like letters, the problem is you divert your faith from God to the creature. Amen. And this morning, I want to challenge you right now in the name of Jesus. Let not your faith be upon creatures. Let your faith be upon God, the giver of the power and the miracle. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, Jesus healed in different ways. He would use things like faith triggers. You know, he would spit on the ground, mix a bit of mud, apply it on the eyes, and the eyes would be opened. You know, he would put fingers on the ears of the deaf person, and the person would start hearing. You know, he would send lepers, not even touching them. He'd say, go and show yourself to the priest. And on their way, they would get healed. He would lay hands upon the sick and the sick would be healed. Sometimes he would just command sickness and sickness would leave. But predominantly, when I read the scripture, I see Jesus saying, those who believe, they will lay hands upon the sick and the sick will be healed. You can see a pattern in scripture. It is very, very important that we do not get sidetracked by all of these things. Amen. Very, very key. Glory be to God. Amen. I want to take you to the third point. I want you to know that Jesus is willing and will not deny a request for healing. Amen. Jesus is willing. He's not just willing, but he takes it to the point where he will not deny a request. Now, there is evidence in the scripture. There is no evidence in the scripture of any moment where Jesus denied somebody who came to him asking for healing. You can show me. But the Bible I've grown to read, I haven't seen any evidence where Jesus turned somebody away. The closest we get to that is when Jesus said to this woman, do not give children's bread to dogs. It was because there was a principle he wanted to bring, but ultimately the child was delivered. So there's no evidence of Jesus chasing somebody away. Amen. Now, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. To either believe what the scriptures say or to rationalize with our intelligent brains to say, well, there are some sicknesses that Jesus will not receive when people, or will not heal when people make the request. Let me take you to Luke 4:38. The Bible says, and rising up from the synagogue, he entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was being seized with a great fever. And they asked him for her. They requested, Jesus, my mother-in-law is sick. This is a spirit. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever. So here we don't see Jesus laying hands. He rebuked the fever. So that's another way of people being healed, of ministering healing to people. He rebuked the fever and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Jesus is not about to turn you empty-handed. Amen. Jesus is not about to say, I'm too busy. When they requested him to heal Peter's mother-in-law, immediately he went into the room, rebuked the fever, and in that moment, the mother was able to minister to them. One of the reasons why Jesus wants you well, like I said last week, is for you to be able to minister. It's for you to be able to be effective in what he has called you. Glory be to God. Amen. So Jesus ministered healing to Peter's mother-in-law. I'm sure Peter's mother-in-law was so blessed and would say, wow, what type of a son-in-law I have here. He brings people that can bring healing to us. Hallelujah. Let's look at another account. Mark 1, verse 32. I like this. Mark 1, verse 32. The Bible says, and at evening, when the sun set, they brought all those who were diseased to him, and those who had been demon-possessed. Verse 33. And all the city had gathered at the door. We don't know how big this city was, but surely this city was not made up of two families or three families. It was made up by multiple families. And the Bible says, all the city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were sick of different diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. It doesn't matter how small this city was. What we know is that the entire city was at the front door. They were packed in the driveway, if there was a driveway. And there he was, Jesus, one after the other, ministering healing, rebuking demons, chasing out evil spirits, one after the other. We are not told that there's anyone who left that place without being healed. It tells me something. That when it comes to being healed, Jesus has got time for you. Amen. Jesus will never say, I've been so busy, I don't have time right now. Fatigue did not stop Jesus from bringing healing to those people who were gathered in front of that house. This morning, saints, this should be faith building for you to say, maybe Jesus has healed already 20 people or 200 people or 2,000 people. He will not send me back home empty. Glory be to God. Amen. In the same way that Jesus was patient to minister healing to these people who were standing in front of that house, Jesus wants to bring healing over the nation of South Africa. Jesus wants to bring healing over families in Africa. Glory be to God. He will never say, sorry, it is too late. Amen. Jesus healed the 10 lepers. They cried out to him. And they said, Lord, let's go to Luke 17, verse 11. The Bible says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. Somebody needs to have confidence in the willingness of Jesus to call out to him in a loud voice. Amen. The Bible says they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Today and this morning, saints, I want to encourage you. Do not be embarrassed to call out on Jesus. Some of you are too dignified to experience the mercy of Jesus. Until you are desperate enough for healing, I want you to know you might not experience healing. Jesus is available. When he sees you coming and crying out, he will pay attention to you. These 10 lepers were at a distance and they cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus had them. He did not lay hands on them. He said, go, show yourself. And on their way out, they were healed. Today, Jesus wants to bring healing to you. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus. In Mark 10, verse 46, the Bible says Jesus and his disciples went to Jericho, and as they were leaving, they were followed by a large crowd. A blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that it was Jesus from Nazareth, he shouted, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Have pity on me." This morning, somebody needs to shout to Jesus. Give a shout of faith to the Lord, because he hears the shout of faith. Glory be to God. He experiences the touch of faith. And when we shout to him in faith, he will do something profound, and your life will never be the same. Why? Because Jesus won't turn you back. Jesus won't turn you back. Hallelujah. When you look at verse 48, the Bible says many people who told the men to stop, many people told the men to stop, but he shouted even louder. Somebody needs to experience and to have what I call spiritual stubbornness. The Bible tells me that he continued shouting even louder. I don't know how long your sickness has been in your body. The longer the sickness has been, the more you need to spend time in the presence of God. The more you need to shout and shout and shout until heaven hears you. Glory be to God. Son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him over. Call him over." The rest of the story, when Jesus called this man, he said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Master, I want to see. I want to see." And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you whole." This morning, child of God, when you cry out to Jesus, he will say, "Call him over." He will say, "Come to me," and your life will never be the same again. Hallelujah. I don't know what has been your journey. I don't know what you've been experiencing in your body right now. I want you to realize that when we cry out to Jesus in faith, he is willing. He is more than willing to bring healing in your body. Somebody needs to have that faith. I just sense that somebody needs to repent right now. Where you have lived in doubt of the willingness of the Lord to heal you. And because of that doubt, your faith has been short-circuited. You've not been able to reach out, because in your mind, the devil has been telling you he's not going to pay attention to you. But right now, I want us to pray together for the spirit of faith to rise up, for you to know that your Father is willing and he is well able. And next week, we're going to go deeper about the capacity that we find in Jesus to bring healing. He is not just willing, but he's got the capacity. He's got what it takes to bring healing in your body. Right now, I want to pray with you concerning your level of understanding with regards to the willingness of Jesus. He is willing. He wants to heal you right now. But it's a place of repentance where we have doubted God about his willingness to bring healing in your family, to bring healing in your body. And so, Father, even right now, we pray. I pray for your people. I pray for that one who has doubted the willingness of Jesus to bring healing in their body. Father, we repent from that spirit of doubt. In the name of Jesus, Father, right now, I command the spirit of unbelief to leave your people right now in the name of Jesus. Father, where they have doubted your willingness, oh God, Lord, I pray that right now somebody would be convinced of the goodness of God towards them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a new level of faith to rise up in their hearts right now. I pray that there's a renewal of their minds for them to believe that God actually wants to bring healing to us. Father, I thank you right now for what you're doing in the lives of your people. I want to thank you that miracles are going to start happening right now. In the name of Jesus, is there a change of mindset? Lord, I thank you that they'll be able to stretch out and cry out to you without being embarrassed, without being fearful of being rejected. Father, I thank you this morning for hearing us. I thank you for your goodness and for your love for us. In the name of Jesus. If you pray that prayer, say amen. Because that word amen says the same as you are confessing, same as I agree to that prayer. Glory be to Jesus. Again, I want to pray for somebody right now who needs salvation. I want you to know that Jesus died for you on the cross, rather. He suffered, he was rejected, he was bruised. And the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He did all that for you. So if you are here and you're listening to me right now, don't miss this opportunity. I want to encourage you to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that you cannot save yourself. Jesus died for you on the cross so that you don't have to die anymore from your sins. If you believe with your heart, I want to lend you my word as a point of contact. But it is at that point of believing that salvation comes into your heart. So if you have believed right now, just pray after me and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I thank you that you died for me. You died so that I can have life. I thank you that your blood was shed on the cross so that my sins can be washed away. Today I believe that you are Lord and that you are my Savior. Come into my life. Make me a child of God. Forgive me of all my sins. From today, I belong to you and you are my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me." If you have prayed that prayer, say, you are a child of God. Welcome to the family of God. The Lord loves you and He's going to walk with you. If you need more material from us, we are more than willing to give you this material that we call Let's Get Going and Going Back to Basics. These are discipleship materials that we believe you need right now as you start this journey with God. May the Lord bless you. Again, I want to thank all of you who've been giving faithfully. I want to encourage you to continue giving from what God is giving you. Do not give from what you don't have, but whatever the Lord lands on your heart and what God has put into your hands, take a portion of it and sow into the kingdom of God. Go onto our website, under the giving tab, and you'll find our banking details. May the Lord bless you. I miss all of you. May the Lord preserve you. May He protect you. May the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord Jesus be upon you. Until we meet again next week, keep well and keep safe. Amen.